From the Midas at Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, showers, maybe a thunderstorm this afternoon, possible gusty winds, high of 72. We do have that flash flood watch, for the fire area of the Archie Creek fire this afternoon. Potential for heavy rains that could lead to debris flow in the fire area. We'll keep tabs on that this afternoon. Check 541radio.com for more updates there. Showers tonight, 70% chance, cloudy down to 56, 30% chance of showers, sunny, 75 tomorrow, and Sunday, sunny and 80 degrees. Right now, rain, 64, and KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. A unique program today. We're talking to the Libertarian candidate for President of the United States, Dr. Joe Jorgensen, joining us from Montana. Good afternoon. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, your education, your career, your background.
I teach psychology at Clemson University, where I'm a senior lecturer. However, I'm not the kind of psychology who diagnoses schizophrenia. I've got a PhD in industrial organizational psychology and an MBA, and I've been a small business owner. And so I understand what it's like to be a business owner in this country and how important it is to get government out of the way so that we can be profitable and productive.
I'm curious if you were interested in political science at a young age or if that came later.
I'm still not interested in political science. In fact, some people have asked me, so I guess what, you were student body president or ran for student council, and I'm just horrified at the thought of that. No, I always thought it was unfair in high school and college that there's an elite few who make rules for the rest of us, you know, kind of like Animal Farm all over. So I really was never, and still am not interested in politics. It's just that somebody's got to step up and get the power, you know, back to the individuals so that we can make our own decisions. We should not have people in Washington making decisions for all of us. And it's just appalling that we've gotten to this place.
I'm curious how your path led to you being a libertarian. You mentioned not being that really particularly interested in politics. When did you start to pay more attention and kind of formulate your ideas?
Well, as I mentioned, I read Animal Farm as a child, and I always, you know, didn't like the idea, or maybe I didn't mention that, but that's why I was appalled in high school, because it just brought me back to the days of reading Animal Farm, where we've got some are more equal than others. And I heard a libertarian on the radio show when I was in my MBA program just finishing up college, and I thought, wow, I thought I was the only one who thought this way. It's so great to know that there's a party out there who believes that, you know, we should each be able to make our own choices instead of having an elite few make decisions for us.
You've been a libertarian candidate before in other races. Tell us more about those.
I was the 1996 vice presidential candidate for Harry Brown, and I also ran for the U.S. House in 92 in South Carolina. So I guess the one thing now that can be added to my Wikipedia page, now that I'm on the ballot in all 50 states, is I'm the only woman in the history of the country to have done this, to have been on the ballot in all 50 states.
I'm curious, I'm curious how you would define what it means to be a libertarian. Here in Southern Oregon, this area tends more Republican, but it seems like a lot of folks in our area come to the Republican viewpoint, but they kind of come to it from a more of a libertarian perspective. So if somebody said, what is a libertarian, what would you say?
I would say a libertarian is somebody on your side and not the sides of politicians, bureaucrats, and special interests. And I would say a libertarian is somebody who believes that you know best what's best for you.
And is it as simple as that?
I believe so. I mean, I can't think of anything that the government can do better than the individual. And if you look at, you know, we're having problems paying for health care, and we didn't have problems until the government got involved. Now we're having battles over education because now we've got a one size fits all from the federal government, whereas the, you know, the needs of education in, let's say, rural Appalachia, much different than downtown New York City and very different from where you are. So it doesn't matter, you know, where you are in the country. We've got politicians who think they know how to run our lives better than we do, and they don't. So I, you know, basically you said, it's interesting that you said that where you are, there are a lot of Republicans who kind of came the Libertarian route. The Libertarian Party was formed after Richard Nixon came up with his wage and price freeze controls. And a group of people said, you know what, that's not how Republicans are supposed to act. And so they came up with the Libertarian Party, who also believes in freedom in other areas. For instance, that you should be able to marry who you want, and you should be able to use the drug of your choice, and not only the approved drugs that the government tells you is okay.
What are the top issues that drive your campaign?
I would say health care is number one. If there's one message I could get to everybody, it's that we don't have a free market system, because politicians are saying, you know what, our free market isn't working, so we need single payer. But we haven't had a free market system in over 100 years. And when they say we need Medicare for all, what I hear is VA hospital for all. And that monopolistic system is a horrible system. So, you know, healthcare is literally a life or death issue that we have to get control of. Also, I would say bringing the troops home is another major thing, that we are in 150 countries around the world. We need to just come home. I want to turn America into one giant Switzerland, armed and neutral. And last, the environment. I think the environment is very important. And now, by the way, the fires are kind of amplifying that. And once again, can the federal government really take better care of our land than individuals? I say no.
And that's interesting. One of the questions I got from a listener as we were preparing for the interview this week and letting folks know that it was coming up was along that line. They've watched the battle between both sides in how you manage federal force over decades here in what it previously was called for many years kind of the epicenter of timber country. And there are battles back and forth between both sides, different ideas, and and that's continuing today as we look at 130,000-acre fire in our county, and people are talking about, you know, what needs to be done differently so that while you can't get rid of what happens from weather, but what happens when weather makes a situation worse because the forest hasn't been managed as well. And there's a lot of opinions on that.
Oh, yeah. And if you think about it, if those same forests were owned by, let's say, timber companies, there would be a profit motive to make sure that you didn't get these fires, because if your timber all burned down, then it wouldn't be worth anything to you if your job is to sell timber. You would cut away from the undergrowth. You would get rid of the dead trees. Or if you were a conservation group, and, you know, sometimes conservation groups can be the highest bidder. They're the ones who really want to take care of the land. I would much rather see any conservation group in charge of this land than the federal government, because with the federal government, first of all, there's no accountability. And secondly, the people running it, they don't have a vested interest in it. You know, what do they care if it burns up? It's not going to hurt their daily life. It's not going to hurt their profits.
What about the federal budget deficit?
Wow. It is way too big. It is just, it is just ridiculous where we are now. And what's scary is when I ran in 1996 for VP, I was saying then how bad the deficit was and the debt. And now here we are, the debt's five times what it was back then. And the deficit keeps climbing. And I'd like to point out that I can understand why people voted for Donald Trump, because he comes in, he's an outsider, he says, I'm a businessman, I know how to balance the budget sheet, I know how to cut spending. And he comes in and basically spends more than the previous Republican presidents. So I think that shows that, unfortunately, there is no hope for the Republican Party to cut the deficit. It is way too big.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Dr. Joe Jorgensen, Libertarian candidate for President of the United States, with us from Montana. The interview, a podcast, after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Keep your radio here throughout the weekend. Check 541radio.com, the 541 Radio app, or the KQEN Facebook page. We'll continue to add information about the wildfire situation, Archie Creek, Eaton Thielson, and other things that are related to that throughout the weekend. So check back often for updates. Dr. Joe Jorgensen, Libertarian candidate for President of the United States, joining this afternoon. I was curious about your thoughts about the American prison system.
You know, the Libertarian Party thinks that the function of government should be limited to police, courts, and military. So the prison system should be one thing that the government is in charge of. And I really don't like how we've gone to a for-profit prison system in which we turn it over to private companies who make a profit when we lock up more people. I really think we need to return it to the federal government, or, you know, for the federal prisons, and of course, locally to state and local. But again, I just find it funny that the government is doing everything it's supposed to do and making things worse, such as health care, education, and retirement. And here, the one thing that they should be doing, they're passing off to somebody else.
What's your view of President Donald Trump and also former Vice President Joe Biden?
I am not going to vote for them for president since I'm running for president. But one thing I would like to point out is that, you know, the media keep calling them two old rich white guys. And I would say that's the smallest of the problems. I would point out that neither one thinks that you should make your own decisions in your life. Both of them want to spend your money. Neither one is going to bring the troops home. And neither one of them has an answer for the crushing health care costs. And I think it is really sad that they are not allowing me up on stage to debate this with them. And it's no wonder they don't want me on the stage, because they know that I present the only real alternative, that basically both of them are for bigger government and both of them are for basically keeping control over our lives.
I'm curious, you mentioned being on stage, and campaign events are so different this year in the wake of COVID-19. Yep. What's it been like for you compared to when you ran for VP in the past?
Well, it's already quite a bit different because we didn't have wide use of the internet as we do now. In fact, back then, our campaign was put into the Smithsonian Institution because the Libertarian Party, of course, we've always been really handy with computers. We kind of led the way with our campaign being online. And so there was a display for us about that. So I would say the biggest thing is just basically that everything's online, and it's a good thing with the virus that we can do things online. Otherwise, it would be hard to get any message out. So it's been rather interesting. But regardless of that, I think I am getting out a lot more than Joe Biden is. I think my party probably has a little more confidence in me than his party has in him. And so they are letting me out of the basement. I am on a bus tour right now. The first bus tour we were on was 16 days. We visited 20 cities. I don't even know how long this one is. It's close to 3 weeks. And we're, you know, traveling across the country. I think I will have gone to 46 states by the time this is all over with, by the time Election Day comes around.
This could be, maybe is, the most polarizing campaign year ever. It seems all sides, it's very intense. There's a lot of back and forth going on. What's your take on that?
Well, I think the reason it's so polarized is because so many decisions are made through the government. For instance, if you look at education, let's say you want to have prayer in your kid's school, or you want to have vaccines, And let's say your neighbor doesn't. Your neighbor doesn't want vaccines, doesn't want prayer, whatever. What you have to do is you have to battle it out. You each have to support your own candidate. You got to put money towards your candidate, get all your votes to friend, or get all your friends to vote for the candidate, put yard signs out, and then go vote. And on election day, one of you is going to win and one of you is going to lose. And unfortunately, you're both going to have to live under the same system. So, of course, we're battling it out because we have to battle out every area of our lives. But the libertarian way is that we get to vote with our feet or vote with our dollars, in which we get to keep our resources. And so if I want to send my kid to a school with prayer and vaccinations, I can, and my neighbor doesn't. So we don't have to be so polarizing. And, you know, it's funny because we talk about corruption in government sometimes, and a lot of people don't realize that that Congress was hugely corrupt back in, like, the 1930s, 1940s. But nobody cared because they didn't control every aspect of our lives. We were still able to make our decisions. You know, we would vote on election day, and it really didn't have that much control, you know, that much influence on our lives. But now it does. So we're out there having to battle over everything, and it's ridiculous. And you think about it. You know, what if they added grocery stores to the list of healthcare, education, and retirement and everything else the government does? What if we had to battle it out? Are we all going to be vegetarians? Or are we all going to eat steak? You know, it's no wonder we're so polarized.
What kind of response do you get as you are traveling around sharing this libertarian message?
A great response. A lot of people are saying, you know what? I did not realize that I had another choice. I thought I had to only vote for Trump or Biden. And also, I'd like to point out that something like 75% of the people, volunteers for our campaign, are from outside the party. So people are realizing that, yes, there is another choice out there, and we want that other choice.
How well do you think you're doing in terms of the numbers versus Trump and Biden?
Well, of course, we can't get the media coverage, so it's going to be hard to do that. If I could get on stage with them, I think I would completely break through. However, I do know that the cities and states that I visit, my poll numbers do go up. So when people do hear our message, they do like it and they join the movement.
Do you find that people come to the Libertarian Party or come to your campaign more from the Republican side, more from the Democratic side, or is it pretty split?
I don't know about my particular campaign, but I can tell you in general, we get about equal numbers from the Democrats and Republicans. However, most of the people still come to our party from either independents or people who had never voted.
Interesting. And, of course, there are some other independent parties as well. It seems like this year, outside of the two major parties, your campaign is the one that's noticed most. And there are other folks out there that are running, Green Party, et cetera, that I suspect most people listening wouldn't even know who they are.
Right. In fact, other than the Democrats and Republicans, we are the only party that's been on the ballot in all 50 states in back-to-back presidential elections. And unfortunately, when we did that back in the early 2000s, a lot of the states took notice and they said, oh my gosh, they're getting successful. They're gaining traction. We got to do something. And we already had horrible ballot access problems, but they made those hoops even worse to jump through. So now we have to spend a lot of our time, money, and resources just getting on the ballots in many states. And so that's where our focus has to be instead of out talking to the voter. But again, we are a major party, and we are, again, on the ballot in all 30 states. So I'm so excited that we've got that traction. And I have been asked if I would debate, would I be in the third party debate? And my answer is no, because we are the only other party who is on the ballot in all 50 states. If I deserve to be on any stage, it's with the Democrats and Republicans. It's with the major parties that people have said that they want a choice to vote for.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Kind of give folks your final pitch, if you will, as to why they should consider voting for you.
I would say, you know, again, if you voted for Trump, I understand why you voted for him. You wanted an outsider. You wanted somebody who would reduce government. I'm actually that person. And if you're a Democrat, I would say you know, it's just so sad that the Democratic Party has traditionally been the party of anti-war, of pro-peace. And we saw the Democratic Party shut down Tulsi Gabbard. And again, we've got another war hawk in there. So if you do want peace, if you do want to bring the troops home, the Libertarian Party is the only party there who is on your side. So please check us out. I'm at joe20.com. Again, that's joe20.com. And see how you can make your own decisions in your life and we can return to prosperity and peace.
All right, Dr. Joe Jorgensen, Libertarian candidate for President of the United States and Inside Douglas County, joining us from Montana this afternoon. Really appreciate you taking some time with us to be on the radio this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.